Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Easter, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined by my both beautiful and talented co-hosts, Sherry Pang and Maria Wilson Duff. Hello, gals. Was that creepy?
Hey, that was creepy.
Awesome. My work here is done.
That's right.
Howdy,
Hi,
howdy.
Jason.
Hey. Well, we're just freelancing it tonight. We're winging it, huh?
Yeah, we sure are. We're doing pretty good job. You've been yawning, and we've been talking about really weird things, so.
Yeah, how was, Maria, how was your week? Anything exciting going on?
Not a whole lot. Today, I did go to the Ohio River and walk up and down through Owensboro. They've done a really wonderful job doing a lot of restoration. It's called Friday Night After Five. Of course, today was Sunday, and there wasn't any bands there, but there was a lot of vendors, food vendors and things like that that are out on Friday nights. I think they start that after Memorial Day. But anyways, it was a beautiful day. Here in Kentucky, it was 75 degrees and sunny. The rain has finally gone away for a few more days.
Yay!
Very nice. How about you, Sherry? What have you been up to? Are you getting shredded yet with all this workout stuff?
I'm shredded, but I'm getting fat too at the same time. I'm still in the bulking phase, and I've got an injury, so I'm going to have to scale back and, you know, really limit to my workout. So I've got an impingement in my shoulder and now on my glute. So kind of like the universe is saying, hey, you need to slow down and back off. So, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping to do the bikini in August, but, you know, the way things are going and my readings are just, I mean, I'm just getting one referral to another and that's really just hopping. So, you know, maybe spirit or universe is taking me to a different direction or just concentrating on just, you know, doing Chinese medicine and psychic mediumship. But, no, I'm not going to stop working out, but the level I'm going to be able to do is very limited. So, but, no, I'm really, today I went to with a girlfriend. She's one of my yoga students, and we went to McMinniman's Grand Lodge for lunch. So it was really nice. And for those of you who don't know what McMinniman's is, it's all over Oregon. McMinniman Brothers is one of my husband's clients, and they have bought each place. They've been paranormal. They've already been in the hospital. They've been in a morgue. They've been in a children's orphanage. Just really bizarre buildings in the past, and they're haunted. They just buy haunted buildings and make restaurants and a pub house out of them and hotels. So we went to one of the McMinniman's. It used to be a nursing home, and we went and had dinner. I shouldn't say dinner, but lunch.
I've actually done a ghost investigation at one of the McMinniman's. McMinniman's Edgefield. Have you been out there? Have you been out there, Sherry?
Yes, I have. That's the one in Troutdale. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're aware of it, there are they're not only on the lawn. They're all over the place. There's a lot of paranormal activity in each and every McMinniman place. Crazy.
And they serve pretty good food.
Yes, they do. They really do. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, we walked around the grounds today and used to be a, what do you call that, a nursing home. But before a nursing home, it was a children's hospital or something like that. And there's a big slide, and downstairs was a morgue and doctor's office. It was quite interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of activity.
I've been there. I just haven't been there in probably 20 years, I think. But I do remember that place. Very interesting. All those buildings that they have a really interesting history. And like Sherry said, they're purported to be haunted. Now, when I did the investigation at the Edgefield, which was like some poor farm, it's a bunch of buildings. They have a hotel there. I didn't really notice. We rented the most haunted room, and I don't remember the room number, but it was like back when they were remodeling it. I don't remember the exact story, but there was like all this occult stuff like carved in the floor, and people reported seeing a demon dog. So we went in there with really professional, like it was actual like TV station equipment. And I didn't have the guts to stay the night, but one of the guys did. And absolutely nothing happened.
Wow. Well, my daughter used to work for the McMinimans over the Grand Lodge in Forest Grove. And she, in the 2 years that she's been there, there's some paranormal activity that she's really a non-believer. But it got her stunned, you know, as far as how these things can happen, where there's, you know, there's nobody there in the manager's office, but she can hear footprints coming from inside or people knocking. And it's like she used to work the graveyard shift, so it was real quiet. I mean, way beyond, you know, where the bands would be playing, everybody's, you know, shut down and everything. There was some paranormal activity, and she became a believer as far as things like that go bumping in the night. Well, they do have a log in the front desk so that, you know, when the people that stay overnight, it's a hotel, so when people stay overnight, they're complaining or freaked out. They actually go on this log and they share their paranormal experiences inside this journal or log that they have at the front desk.
Very interesting. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? There's so many things we can talk about. I just have no idea. We're just going to have to wing it. We should just put all the subjects in a hat and pick it out of a hat.
Well, Maria was saying dreams. I mean, I like that because it reminds me, I had a dream of my first husband who had passed on, and I had a dream of him. It's interesting. I have your take. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but as, you know, as a psychic medium, I have my own thoughts. But I had a dream of my ex-husband. You know, he was my soulmate, and he was comforting me. It was quite interesting. He was holding me at the same time, and the energy of him was very protective, very, very protective. And so I had that dream, and, you know, I don't know what the difference is, where they say it's a visitation, or I don't know, the names of it, but I don't know. It's just quite interesting that, you know, he came through, and he was just holding me, and very protective, very, you know, like, it was loving but very protective and guarding kind of thing, like nobody's going to mess with you.
I kind of just think dreams are dreams. What do you think, Maria?
You know, it just depends. A lot of times if you pick the dream apart, colors, the room that you were in, say if you were in a house or if you were outside or things like that, all of those can be put together to make a story of what's actually going on in your waking world, a problem that you're trying to handle or a fear that you're having. A lot of that is reflected into your dreams. And you don't necessarily dream about the situation that you're having. It's really odd. If you're having turmoil in your life, sometimes you'll dream about a tornado. That means something is very upsetting in your life. And it depends on, so if you see that, and then there's other things that are going on around you.
Are you in a house looking out the window? What room of the house are you in? Are you standing outside? Is somebody with you? It's all different things. And I can give you an example of that. I was in high school, and I had just in a very short time, three friends of mine were killed. They weren't, and that's very hard. And one of them was a drowning. One of them, he was racing motorcycles illegally, and he had a wreck and hit a pole, and so he died in that. And another friend of mine was killed in a car wreck. He was thrown through a windshield. So I can remember sitting or in my dream at my grandmother's house, and all three of these guys are sitting in the living room of her home. And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, why are you here? You know, how are you? Are you doing okay? And one of them spoke up, and he looked at me. He said, we can't be here for very long. We've got to get back before they notice that we've stepped away. We are all doing fine. So at that time, one of them that did not speak pointed towards the windows of my grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked out, and there were three tornadoes there. So kind of in, I was disturbed with the fact that all three of them had passed away so close together. So there were three tornadoes outside of her window. So that was representing that I had feelings towards this, and that they had died. But when you dream of a living room, it kind of represents like an emotional comfort that you're trying to accept a life or situation the way that it is. It's, I guess, because families pile up in living rooms, and that's where you watch TV, and maybe that's where a lot of people find comfort. But I found that odd. And there's probably a lot more with the colors and things like that, but that was as far as I needed to go. And that, after that dream, it seemed like to me that they were okay. So that was their way of coming in and saying, we're good, quit worrying, everything's going to be okay.
So that to me signifies, it's funny because when you're not into the situation, that signifies they're all together, obviously, and it was a visitation. It was actually letting you know, like you said, that they all are together and letting you know, hey, we're here. You know, we're alive and well, but we're on the other side. Isn't that great? It is awesome.
I really think it is. I mean, it didn't go into a nightmare situation, so I thought that was pretty awesome as well.
So like with my dream, it's interesting because I don't remember if we were indoors, outdoors. I just remember, all I remember was Clint holding me and just, you know, comforting me. I wasn't crying. I don't remember crying. I think I was a little bit distressed, but I don't think I was crying. But I just, like I said, I remember that, you know, when he was holding me, he's got that other part of him where he's very protective at the same time, you know. So I felt that. And it's interesting because my dreams with him crossing over, a lot of times it's telepathy. You know, even when we were together in here before he passed on, we communicated. He would say something before I even got a chance to say something. It was like we already knew each other. It's just strange. You finish each other's sentences. You know how each other's thinking. And it was just really quite an interesting, you know, communication.
That's probably the first thing that pops in your mind about him when you think about him. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and he has. I mean, after he passed away, he did come to my dreams quite a bit, but it's kind of, you know, waned off and you know, waned off and that kind of thing. So, you know, but he has. And to be honest with you, I, you know, as I ever told you, you know, I think I've showed you a picture of, he came and manifested himself, a headshot of him in my living room. So, you know, and I didn't even ask for him. I just so happened, you know, just taking my iPhone and just, you know, literally for shits and giggles, just taking pictures and see what comes up. And he happened to come in on the wall against the glass picture that my mother made. And you can tell it was him, because if I show you a picture of what he looked like, a headshot when he was alive, and you see the apparition with him manifesting, you say, yeah, that's him, all right. So it's quite interesting, yeah. I definitely believe in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of times, you know, that's an ex-partner. If in your dreams, sometimes it's like you're afraid that you're going to be making the same mistakes, that you're going to be repeating the same bad habits and making the mistakes in the past. So it's kind of like showing a fear that maybe you're afraid. Does that make sense? That you might.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're afraid, if you're going to be stepping into a whole new thing, like when you jumped into this bodybuilding thing, this was a whole new adventure for you.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Jason. Tell us a dream of yours, one that's really stuck out in your mind.
Well, there's two main dreams that I have repeatedly, and one is volcanoes and one is tornadoes. And the tornado ones is usually there's tons of tornadoes, and I'm trying to get away from them. I mean, just the sky filled with tornadoes, and that's pretty regular. But I can't really attribute that to any sort of trauma or conflict or anything. It seems random to me. I just kind of feel like dreams are just that, dreams. I'm sure there's some sort of subconscious reasoning to them, but. Fortunately, I do remember a lot of my dreams, and I never have good dreams. They're always paranormal, which is explainable because I talk about the paranormal a lot. But volcanoes, you know, they're erupting, and I'm trying to get away from the pyroclastic flows and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
But I had dreams like, or another one is I'm on the beach and on the ocean, and the water might be up to my knees, but yet it's still sucking me out into the ocean. Stuff like that. I don't have good dreams. I wish I did. I mean, I wish
no.
I dreamed about
oh my God,
unicorns or, yeah. Yeah, lots of, like, demons and evil spirits and nothing warm and fuzzy. So I start my day with shitty dreams. It's amazing
wow.
I can do it. It's amazing I can get through the day.
And they're pretty vivid, right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. My dreams are so consistently bad and scary that I wouldn't even classify them as being nightmares. I never wake up scared or anything like that. It's just it's such a regular thing. They're just, you know, it's just normalcy for me to have bad dreams. For once, I'd like to dream about kittens and cute little miniature ponies and cheeseburgers and nachos, but it just doesn't happen for me.
So, Jason, you never really, you don't lose your temper a lot, do you?
No, but when I do, it's catastrophic.
See, but that's one of, so you kind of control yourself. That's your volcano that's in your dream. That's what that is. You want to explode all the kind of negativity that you can explode with, but you don't do it.
Yeah, I've 40 plus years of pent up craziness.
We're supposed to be adults, Maria. can we act like children?
Well, you know, it's good. It's good to have
you, right?
Yeah, there you go. It's good to have a temper tantrum every once in a while, you know. I mean, I do it. Of course, I'm here by myself. I have dogs and I have cats, and I just every once in a while I just start talking out loud and course, my dog just looks at me and wags her tail, but, you know, I'm fussing at somebody. It's just that you got to let it go. It doesn't do you any good to keep it pent up inside, and you sure can't take it out on anybody. So, you know, when you're talking just straight out, you don't have to talk to your animal, but talk straight up into the air, you know, hey, it's not going to hurt anything. It might help.
And, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, with like with me, I'm learning to write it out. You know, why is this happening? You know, just try and search some answers, you know, when I'm in that mood where I need to get some answers. So I sit down and write it out.
Jason, the ocean part that you were talking about?
Yeah.
That's more of the same.
So it's
the
basically
uncertainty and the negativity. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. I'm sure I'm probably really messed up on the inside that I'm not even aware of it. I should probably get therapy. I'm not hearing voices yet.
Well, that's okay. Even if you did, honey, it's all right.
who said that? I'm just super chill. I've always been chill. I don't like, you guys know, I don't like drama. I'm super chill, super nice, super giving, super loving. But there is, you know, and everybody has got a dark side to them. I mean, everybody's got a point where they completely explode. And I haven't exploded in years. But when I do, if that ever happens again, it's pretty scary.
Yeah. But sometimes, I mean, you've got to have an outlet for your emotions, whether they're happy or they're bad. Somehow or another, you've got to let those out. And your dreams kind of show you that. You know, your mind's telling you, hey, you need to do something about this. Fix it.
Yeah, this sounds like, Jason, you're out of the ordinary. You know, it's interesting how you're, like you said, your genes are negative. That's just intense. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm not no dream interpretation expert or by any way, shape, or form, and I don't know anything about dreams. But when you're having negativity in your dreams, pay attention. Why are you having them? What's causing them? What kind of situation are you going through at that given moment or in your life? You know, is it loneliness? Is it despair? Is it depression? Is it, you know, angst or, you know, anxiety or, you know, those kind of things? And then you delve deeper. Why are you feeling this way? What's causing it? You know, you can go into your situation or go way back. You know, way, way back to your childhood. And, you know, like I said, for me as a medical intuitive, when I scan the body, I'm able to read pictures, get stories and traumas and things like that from a person's body. And your body will never lie. That's one thing I do say in the many years I've been doing this, is that your body will always tell me the truth before you may even recognize it. And animals either here or thereafter, those that have crossed over, always speak their truth. And always, too, the souls, the good souls, not bad ones, but the good souls that have crossed over, they always speak their truth and from the heart. So, yeah, you have some stuff going on that's probably bottled up and you haven't been able to deal with it. That's
paranormal. Paranormal Horizons therapy session.
I just checked about 45 minutes before we went on air. We hit the 3,300 mark.
Yeah, very cool.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool. And I asked on the page if anybody would like to share a meme or a joke or something, you know, they can share and we can approve it, and, you know, one of us can approve it and just, you know, share some laughter. That's what I said, sharing laughter. It's sharing laughter and smiles is the best medicine.
That's all you can do, especially in today's world. Just try and be positive.
Yeah, there's so much to cry about. You can, you know.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But again, you know, their memes and jokes are in no way, shape, or form our thoughts or our opinions or anything. It's just for entertainment purposes. So if you can find the humor, even though it may be kind of, you know, offhanded, it's not meant to anything personal. So not at all.
Well, you can't please everybody. You could post a meme of a cat, you know, eating a piece slice of pizza, and it would offend somebody out there.
You're right. Did you notice that?
This is true,
Maria.
Yeah, this is true. And of course, anytime I post anything, and I'll always like direct it straight towards Jason, like a unicorn or something
corn.
Like that.
Jason, you don't like unicorns, right?
There's this unicorn thing. It's like somebody at work said that I should get a unicorn onesie because it would be funny. Now, if anybody knows me, I'm a rather large, imposing individual, not really like morbidly obese, although I'm not skinny. And I'm pretty scary looking. I was a biker in a club, you know, the tattoos. So somebody at work said, hey, you should get a unicorn onesie. And it'd be funny. So I bought, of course, I did what I should do and bought a unicorn onesie. I made a crazy video, got a box of unicorn cereal and made like this weird PSA for it, which I got to find. I should post it. It's really funny. And I was saying how the unicorn cereal would help your sex life. And I just ad-libbed this thing flawlessly off the top of my head. And so ever since then, people think that I am into unicorns, and I'm really not. Somebody at work where I currently work, which is a different place, buys me unicorn stuff all the time. He's bought me unicorn cereal. And then it was just like yesterday he got me playing cards, unicorn playing cards. So now I guess unicorns is kind of a thing. I guess I'm going to have to get into it, but I'm not going to become a brony or any weird thing like that. At least not yet.
Well, at least they're not buying kitty cat stuff.
Buying what?
I said you can give them to a little girl, like the little playing cards. You can give them to a little girl and make brownie points.
Yeah, maybe I should just embrace it and just start wearing my unicorn onesie on a regular basis out in public. There are actually in the city of Portland, there's a unicorn get together where people do that. Somebody asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, yeah, no. There's a limit to my madness. And that exceeds the limit.
Wow. Well, Jason, I
think
I'm going to have a hard time getting you into one of these shows. So you go into a unicorn. That would be really bizarre.
You know what? I should take a picture and post it on the Paranormal Horizons page.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
please
definitely.
Do it.
Yeah.
Please do it. Well, it's so funny because I found a T-shirt on my Facebook page because we were talking about unicorns. So now I'm getting all these T-shirts with unicorns on them. And one of them was something about, I don't know, I think I posted it to the Facebook page, but it was something about cupcakes, but they weren't called cupcakes. I figured Jason would enjoy that. It was called Shut the F up cakes.
I don't know if I saw that.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh no, guys, come on! I can't tag Jason in them, but yeah, I did that for you, Jason, and you didn't even see it.
Wait, did I? Man, we post so much stuff on there. I can't even keep it straight.
It's been so long ago. I don't think you would be able to find it now. If
that's
it pops
crazy.
Up on my page again, I will definitely
please,
give it
I should,
to you. But yeah,
I would very much enjoy seeing the STFU cakes very much.
Yeah,
I haven't slept. I had to think about that for a second. I have not slept much in 2 days. My brain I'm operating on an IQ of probably 75 at the moment.
Oh my God. Wow, you have not slept in 2 days?
A little bit, but I don't know. I go through these periods of just not sleeping well. I should get some pills. Maybe I should get some Xanax and go into like a Xanax coma to get some sleep.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, there's some medication out there that you can take, and they cause you, the side effect causes you to have extreme nightmares. So I'm not real sure you need to do that here.
Yeah.
Get you some melatonin.
No. I tried that. I didn't really notice much with the melatonin. But yeah, I don't need any exaggerated nightmares the way things are right now. That would be actually, that would be nightmarish, actually. Yeah, no fun.
Well, I know that there's something that I do not know the name of it, but it's got melatonin in it. And then with it, it's got something that helps you stay asleep, which I'm like you. I don't have a problem going to sleep, but I wake up 2 o'clock, around about 2 a.m., and then it's ongoing until it's time for my alarm to go off. I'm up and down and up and down, and it drives me insane.
I kind of have the same problem.
What'd you say, Sherry?
You wake tired. You wake up tired. You finally get your sleep just before you have to wake up.
Oh no, I don't really know how I function. If it wasn't, I think my life exists on coffee and beer. You know, coffee all day long while I'm at work, and then after I come home from I work 2 jobs. When I come back from the second one, it's like I drink a beer to wind down, to chill out, and, you know, I don't sleep. I don't know if it's my mind. My mind's not really zigzagging around because I can fall asleep. Staying asleep's a whole different story.
Wow. Yeah, I go through periods like that. Sometimes, you know, not sleeping, and then, yeah, I think maybe it has something to do with the stress level, huh?
Well, it's probably, I would say that.
Yeah,
I think, too, anyway.
I mean, it could be stress or anxiety, or, you know, even though that you may feel okay, it might be something that might be unconscious or something that hasn't been dealt with, and, you know, have anxiety in the middle of the night or going to use the restroom or something like that. So, yeah, it's crazy. And sometimes it has something to do with the cycle. Maybe, I don't know. You know, people get into the retrogrades and, you know, really, blame the retrogrades and look at this because, you know, I got a bad attitude because of the sun and the moon, you know, instead of saying, hey, what? Maybe I just got a bad attitude.
Well, I have noticed that whenever, like, the full moon that we just had, I don't know what that was going on. I think it was supposed to be, like, the pink moon or I can't keep up with it. But my animals did act very strange during that.
Oh, really?
They were kind of on alert.
Okay.
The dog that I have, and I sleep, if it's nice outside, I sleep with my windows open. And never before, I mean, nothing ever goes on outside, ever. But I can remember at 3:30 in the morning, my dog set up and she started that growling, that deep growling, like something was outside. Of course, I live in the middle of nowhere. More than likely, an animal, a deer, whatever. Yeah, Chewbacca. There you go. But, you know, and it's, she, you know, so, and then she did that for 2 nights in a row.
Hmm.
So, the third night, I shut the window and we were fine. So, I don't know. I don't know if, of course, deer are way more active at night during a full moon. So, and I kind of think that that's probably what some of that was, is that I had some deer going through my yard at that time. Who knows?
That's cool. We've been having herd of elk going through our property. You can see the footprints. They're huge. They're just as big as the horse. They're huge. but we've been having some owls too. So, yeah, you never know that the animals are causing, you know, a little bit of disruption too.
What if it's an alien?
And that was another. Well, it could have been, because there was one night that I heard the coyotes started in.
Oh, yeah.
I love to hear them. But what I didn't realize, and after it happened, then I got to thinking about it, I've heard this happen before. When the coyotes get excited, the owls start talking.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
And I don't know if it's their, if, I don't know why that would happen, but when Jason said aliens, I automatically go to owls. But yes.
Yeah, that
is amazing.
I've heard stories.
Interesting when you talk about owls, you know, in Hawaiian traditions, they call them puenos, and they're good luck. I mean, we have a lot of owls. We have an owl family on our property, and they're bearers of good luck and good fortune. Whereas you go into the Native American tradition, depending on what tribe, I have no idea, but they consider that as a bad omen. So it's interesting.
I've heard alien abductees saying that they see owls, but they're really seeing aliens, but their brain, like, makes the alien look like an owl because they can't really comprehend, you know, seeing an actual alien. So...
Exactly.
If you see an alien or an owl looking in your window at night, it's probably just a gray that's going to probe you.
That reminds me, Jason.
Do you believe that these, and this is me, I do believe that these species do believe beyond our dimension and everything, but can you imagine that these other species, whether they're, you know, the grays or the Nordics or whatever, do you believe that they exist? In both of your opinions?
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe in it. Obviously, I believe in aliens. That's right up my alley. I don't know about all these species and the reptilians and all that, but I do believe that the gray aliens do exist. I think that there's just so many people out there that have very similar encounters. But I could be wrong. I mean, I've had dreams with gray aliens, but I don't know. I think that they're just dreams, but sometimes I do wonder about it.
Mm-hmm.
Little scary, little 3 foot, 3.5 feet, little scary bastards with big black eyes.
There is a book. If anybody is, you know, we were talking about owls. There's a book, and it's called The Messengers, and it's owls. Synchronicity and the UFO Abductee, and it's by Mike, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Cleland, C-L-E-L-L-A-N-D. And
okay.
This is, his book is completely about every abductee and what type of sighting they had with an owl. You know, you're driving down the long dark road and things happen and you see a 4 foot owl standing on the side of the road. We all know owls don't get that big, but it's like Jason said, that's how your mind comprehends it. If your mind will protect itself, and if that's how it sees what's going on, then it's going to see an owl. You think about the great big eyes. You can totally understand why somebody would look at an alien and see an owl.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
I'll be honest. Talking about this is already starting to creep me out. I'm alone right
now.
I've seen
people that I kind of get a feeling of they're a reptilian. Have you ever had that feeling of people, certain people?
Well,
like actual,
you know,
aliens?
Right.
Yes. Yes. They could be hybrids. They could be hybrids, or they could be reptilians disguised as humanoids, like us.
I don't know about that. I suppose anything's possible.
Okay. How about you, Maria?
I don't know.
Yes. It's the reptilians or are kind of, there's different species of them. Some are good, some are bad to differentiate.
Do reptilians do the probes? Or is that just
yeah,
the grays?
Yeah, those are some evil bastards. Well, the grays are in with it. So.
Alien colonoscopy.
You got your good grays.
Wow.
You got your good grays. You've got your bad grays. It's all in the species.
Okay. I didn't know that there's good reptilians. I thought reptilians are mainly for evil.
Hey, they all taste like chicken, so there you go.
I'm so sick. I'm so sick and tired of chicken.
Yeah, I bet you are.
All those reptilians.
I'm going to get off the bodybuilding diet for a little bit.
All those aliens
but
and reptilians.
No, I can tell when a person has reptilian tendencies. It's just a feeling you get.
Do I have reptilian tendencies?
No.
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 You're safe.
All right.
You're safe. Yep, exactly. No,
these
reptilian people that I've run across don't have a conscious. They don't have a conscious and they don't have any emotions. It's just a bad feeling, the ones that I've run across.
And see, you do, Jason, because you have dreams where you're struggling with all of this stuff. So you're human. You're good.
Okay. Well, I mean, it would be cool to be like a hybrid because maybe
no.
I would have like superpowers or something. Like a suit.
No,
well,
no,
I
no,
know
no.
I'm human because I don't know how, but I do not have a superior intellect. I think if I was like a hybrid, I'd be like, be able to bend spoons with my mind and read people's thoughts. And I cannot do that.
You can have special powers.
You've watched too much Star Trek.
I do. I love sci-fi. Yeah, absolutely. I think sci-fi is fantastic.
Well, as I was growing up, like I said before, my favorite shows as I was growing up is like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, Munsters, and The Addams Family. Those were my favorite shows growing up.
The Munsters, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
yeah.
was fun. Adam's Family,
so
Gilligan's Island.
My attraction to the paranormal started way back when I was a child.
I liked Brady Bunch, and I thought Marcia was hot.
Everybody thought Marcia was
Marcia,
hot.
Marcia.
wholesome family. Well, they appear
supposedly,
to be,
supposedly,
anyway.
Yeah.
We read that, didn't we, Maria? Huh?
Yep.
We knew Mom had an affair with the oldest son.
What was it
in real life? What is it, Barry, the oldest son that was on the Brady Bunch? I guess he had an affair with Forrest Anderson or something. I don't know. Some kind of drama.
Yeah. And the dad's gay, so there you go.
I know.
See, Jason, you thought your family life was screwed up. That's nothing compared to the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole lot of drama. Hey, my family life was pretty cool.
It wasn't Lisa.
Yeah, you have a good family.
Or what was that other show, that old show with Daisy? What's that old show? Do you remember what I'm talking about? There's an old show.
Daisy Duke? Dukes of Hazzard?
No. It's like really wholesome show, the family. You know, the family. It's kind of like a Leave It to Beaver, but it's before Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, that's where the one person played twins?
I don't remember. If you said something about the show or maybe the person's name, I would probably recognize the name or the show. But, yeah, it was an old-fashioned show. It's very much like Leave It to Beaver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a boy and a girl, if I could remember, but I don't know which was older. And Mom was the housekeeper, and Dad was the breadwinner, and they were teaching about good values. a human being, a good human being with manners.
And the mom and dad didn't sleep in the same bed. That was the old shows. They mom and dad slept in twin beds in the same room. Yep.
Did they sleep in the same bed in the Brady Bunch?
Off the mark.
You know, I think they did at the Brady Bunch, but when you go back to the black and white shows like Dick Van Dyke, they
That way back there, yeah.
Mhm. They didn't show mom and dad sleeping in the same bed.
They didn't show the bedroom, did they?
Yeah, they would. They would show the bedroom, but mom and dad
had twin
beds, and they had a nightstand between them. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that. Wow. Uh-uh.
I think it's funny how things change.
There's separate beds, huh?
it is funny how things change.
Maybe the husband snores too much.
Do you all remember the show NYPD Blue?
Yes, I do. Yes. Eric? Is that the Eric? Chip?
No, that was Chip.
Is that the one? No, those are the motorcycle cops. I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about now. Yes, I got to the motorcycle cops.
But I can remember my mom would watch that. Of course, it came on later at night, but I can remember when they first started saying the word bitch on the air, and it of course it didn't get censored. And
oh, wow.
That was when, I think that was when my parents quit watching the show. It's like you can see the gradual oncoming of, like, Dick Van Dyke. They slept in two separate beds. The Brady Bunch, mom and dad slept in the same bed. And then it just went on from there. And it's like now, God, you've got so many cable channels, there's no telling what you're going to see on TV anymore or hear.
There's some real.
So they say that people who swear are more intelligent than people that don't swear. What's your thoughts about that?
I totally agree with that. I swear like a sailor.
I mean, you know, what do you say? What's your thought on that?
I swear like a sailor, and that makes me a genius.
I think that's just some kind of bullshit somebody come up with.
I know, isn't it something? Yeah, it's an excuse, right? They say that you have more freedom of speech. You're not worried about what people think and everything. So when you do swear, and if that's part of your speech, not that you're saying every other word is a four-letter word, but when you do swear occasion, you're actually being able to be authentic and express yourself in that type of way without feeling like you're going to be judged. And you have a more deeper level of creativity by using words like that.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Jason, you need to be more creative.
Oh, I'm too creative.
So, Jason, have you been able to be creative with that needle when you're drawing blood?
No.
I bet you make people push.
I wear a mask because I have to when I go, into the patient's rooms, and it looks pretty scary. And I know at least one person was freaked out. But I'm not good at drawing blood. I'll be honest with you. I was having a hard time the other day. My hands are the size of dinner plates. They're calloused, you know, trying to find those little veins. And, you know, this is inpatient phlebotomy, you know, so you don't get a lot of people with great veins. But every now and then I have a stroke of brilliance when I'm trying to draw in somebody's hand and just a tiny vein the size of the needle. And then there's times that people have giant veins and I just can't get blood. I hate drawing blood. It's not my main job.
Wow.
But
I don't like I don't like needles.
It's stressful. I'm okay at it. I don't want to be great at it because it's not my job. So I just have to do it occasionally. And when you do something occasionally, you don't become particularly proficient at it. You know, if I was doing it every day, all day long for a while, I'd be really good at it. But I can get by. I just really don't like it. It makes me nervous.
I can remember I was in the hospital to have my son, and one of the ladies came in and she put it in my arm. She said, I want to put your IV here, so then that way they can draw blood here and they won't have to stick you again. Well, she missed that thing. So then she put it into my wrist. She missed that one. She went over to the other side, and she missed that one. And by the time she was done, I just looked at her, and I said, wherever you stick me next, will you please hit the vein? And bless her heart, she started crying. She said, I'm not going to stick you again. I'm going to have somebody else come do it. So they came back in and they stuck it into the back of my hand, got it the first time. And that little girl, she was just bawling because where she would stick me, my veins would blow in my wrist.
Oh, no.
So there was blood everywhere, all in the floor, all over me. So apparently I have tough skin, and whenever they went to try to put it in, it went all the way through my vein, was the explanation.
Yeah, I've seen that before, you know, drawing elderly people, you know, they have paper thin skin, and you're drawing from their hand, and you just see the bruise just grow and grow just right before your eyes. I mean, sometimes that's not avoidable. And the message I would like to put out there is, you know, if you're getting your blood drawn, be it at the doctor's office or the hospital, you know, the people doing it, the phlebotomists or nurses, doctors, whoever's doing it, you know, they're doing their best. You know, it's sometimes it just,
I get mad when
it's hard to get blood.
But, you know, when you're missing it 2-3 times, you know, you think that you would have enough experience to know where to get the vein, you know, where to find it anyway.
Well, it's just one of those things, you know, the vein you can aim right to it, and if it moves, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And it's just one of those things you have to understand. Even though you're the one being poked, they're not doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
it's upsetting when you've got blood going everywhere, but they're doing the best that they can.
Yeah, some people's veins, you know, are really hard. You know, they have calcium or buildup, and it makes it hard for the needle to go in. Sometimes you just put it in a spot where the little valve in the vein is getting in the way. Some people are dehydrated or cold, or, I mean, there's so many reasons why, you know, it doesn't work out. But, you know, everybody's trying to do their good, you know, the best job. I mean, when I go in to draw blood, I'm going in trying to be successful. And I feel terrible when I'm not. But, you know, it's just, that's the way it is. Most people are cool about it. Some people aren't, but, you know, just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You're the man, Jason. You need a mask that has, like, a skeleton face on it when you go in. That really freaks them out.
That's exactly what I do not need. I don't think that would go for a while.
I think that would be cool. On my way home from my son's house today, I saw a lady on the back of a motorcycle, and she had one of those, and it was a full mask. It covered her whole face, and I guess that's bug protection. I don't know, but that was the coolest skeleton face I've ever seen on a scarf, and I really think you need one of those for work, Jason. It would be awesome.
I'm thinking, since I work in a hospital and people die regularly, I'm thinking that the administration would probably frown against that.
Okay, yeah. So make it a unicorn, whatever.
I thought I was being stylish by wearing a unicorn lanyard. But yeah, or I could just go in a onesie and just see how that rolls.
I think you'd be looking for a job.
Probably. Well, I'd probably be in the behavioral health unit being, analyzed by a psychiatrist if I were to do that.
Yeah, it's better a psychiatrist than it is an alien. You know,
that's absolutely correct. A psychiatrist isn't going to stick a probe up my butt, but an alien certainly will.
I don't know. You never know.
And if a psychiatrist does it, I'm suing.
Are you with patients, Jason, all the time?
Not all the time. Maybe a couple times a day. I'm mainly a lab rat.
Oh, not too. Okay. I thought you were with them all the time.
No. If I was with them all the time, I would have got my flu shot. So I have to wear the mask of shame. And because you always can tell who's hasn't got their flu shot if they're wearing a mask. And I'm one of those. I wear the mask of shame.
Oh, is that the mask of shame? Really? Seriously?
Well, I
mean. Yeah, because he didn't get his shot.
Because I didn't get my shot, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But speaking of shots, it does seem like the flu, at least in Oregon, is definitely going down. It's not as common anymore. I think we're moving out of the season.
That amazes me because I always hear the certain states that have major flu breakouts and things like that. And sometimes Kentucky is added into that. But I'm never around anyone that has the flu, and I work in a public place. So it's really odd. I wonder where they get their numbers or how the tests go. It just, I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder if they don't get false positives.
Well, what happens, at least as far as I'm concerned, is as far as my experience, is you hold on to all the positive flus, and then after a while, all those, they get sent to the state. And that's how that's all tracked. So eventually all the actual tubes of the fluid get sent to the state, and I think that's how they track it, at least in Oregon.
Gotcha. That makes sense. But it blows my mind that flu is just a cold time thing, a winter time. You would think if the flu was that bad, it would just keep steamrolling and just keep going. But it just happens when it's winter time. I don't understand that.
That is kind of weird. I mean, the only thing that I could think is people tend to be indoors more, but still, I would think it would be more prevalent year-round versus having a month or two where it's out of control. This year's flu season was considered to be moderate. I think last year's was severe.
Are we still in flu season, Jason?
I think so. I don't know the exact dates, but it's definitely on the decrease.
Well, if it ever turns into the novel, like
home.
The Stand.
Don't go and contaminate people.
If it ever turns into the novel, like The Stand by Stephen King, yeah, your mask isn't going to help you, Jason.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time before one of these biological agents or flu or some other disease gets out of control and wipes us all out like it did back in the day with bubonic plague and the Spanish flu early 1900s. Medicine is good, but eventually, you know, these bugs are growing and evolving too, and it's just a matter of time before we get decimated by some sort of virus.
Well, one thing about it is that we know that cleanliness helps in getting rid of rats. That takes care of the plague. That was pretty disgusting. But cleanliness is good. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. If you're in a public area, always use your hand sanitizer.
Wash your hands. Wipe your butt.
Well, wipe your butt. That helps. That gets rid of your hepatitis at your restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, hepatitis A.
I was reading an article about the airplanes, and they say it's not the toilet seats or anything like that. It's the headrests that are very contaminated. The most contaminated area of inside the airplane, they say, is not the toilet. It's not, they say, it's the trays, but it's the headrest because they don't clean it. You never know if people have, you know, eczema or, you know, lice or anything like that.
Oh, my God. This is why I'm never, ever getting on an airplane. I'm done. I'm
with you on that.
I watched, yesterday, the Smithsonian Channel had a marathon of air disasters. I'm never, ever getting on an airplane again.
That's funny you mention that, because I was watching air disaster shows last night, and I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm never going to get on an airplane again. I mean, all those people that died in those crashes, all those planes that crashed, you know, they were probably thinking it's super, super safe, and the next thing you know, the plane goes down, and oh, no. Yeah, the last one I watched last night was Swiss Air from Canada. 200 and some people died, and there was a fire on board, and it just got out of control and crashed into the ocean. No, thank you. I do not want to get on an airplane again. I know statistically it's super safe, but still.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I don't want to go on there myself. The security has gotten to be way overboard. I mean, I understand there may be, you know, hostages or, you know, could be things, you know, that are like guns and things like that. Because I used to work, when I was younger, I worked for a couple months as a security in the airport, you know, reading the scanners as they come through. So I understand that. But, you know, I think that it's now with everything, you know, hostage and all these other things, I think they go overboard, I think.
I think the last one I watched was a suicidal pilot that kept going through. Of course, this was, that was pretty disturbing. But it was in Germany, and this guy kept going for help, and he would get help, but the doctors were not allowed to tell the airlines anything about what was going on because they could be sued for breach of confidentiality. So, but this guy wiped out 150-something people, and I think they changed the rules after that. So, but still.
What a tool.
I want to go to Ireland so bad. But, yeah, no, not doing it. And I'm not swimming. So, I guess I'll never get to Ireland.
Is there a train that goes to Ireland?
That would be wonderful. I bet the government
from Kentucky
has one. I bet the government has one. They have
probably
everything.
Well, my goodness, looking at the time, it looks like we're just about out of time. What do we got anything going on next week?
Not that I know of, but I can work on getting a guest.
We'll see who we can sneak in.
All right.
Oh, and everybody that's listening, we have one of our guests that had been on the show previously. His name is Jason McLeod, and he is asking for energy workers and healers to send him some good light and to help him get through with whatever he's going through. And he's a wonderful guy. So anybody listening, please do that for us.
Thank
that
you,
would be
Maria.
Greatly appreciated.
That's awesome. We're gonna go and have Jason in our thoughts and our prayers, wishing him the very best. Seriously, a good man, very wealth of information, a very good man.
Very cool. Well, I have a chicken fried steak, house potatoes, and sourdough toast waiting to be microwaved. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I guess we should wrap it up.
Oh, I love chicken fried steak. That's one of my favorites. Oh, my gosh.
I should get my cholesterol checked.
Yeah, I would think so. Does that
it's smothered
gravy
in
it?
Gravy. Oh, yes, it's got sausage gravy. Bits of sausage. I'm pretty pretty thrilled about what's
you
about
are.
To happen in about 10 minutes.
Oh, she's excited. Oh, my God, that's good. I may get that with cube steak. How about you, Maria? You too?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Honey, you can put, down in the South, you can put gravy on anything, and we're going to eat it.
I love that. I love that milk gravy. Oh, my gosh. That's to die for. Homemade milk gravy. All right.
Alrighty.
Well, hopefully next. Go ahead. Hopefully we'll have a guest next week. And anybody, you know, happy Easter. You guys, you peeps, go ahead and share any jokes or memes on Facebook page. And Maria, Jason, or I will go and approve it. And we'd be happy to share that and bring some love and laughter and smiles to your day.
Very good. And we'll see everybody next Sunday for the usual time, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. Happy Easter and good night, everyone.
Night.
Take care, everybody. Peace.